The Charlotte Podcast is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. Listen to your city at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
Let's do a podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the latest episode of the Charlotte Podcast. This is John.
And this is Miller in this episode 254. John?
Yeah.
We're back. We didn't really intend to take a break.
We never talked about it either. That was the funniest part.
Yeah. Oops.
Sorry, everyone.
our tens of fans. I will say we have picked up two fans.
Oh, yeah?
Elizabeth because, and Luis, because, the mother and daughter I run with on Tuesday mornings.
Oh.
They've been asking for a new episode.
Oh, okay.
Would you like to give them a shout-out?
Yeah. What were their names again? Sorry.
Luis and Elizabeth.
Luis and Elizabeth, welcome to the Charlotte Podcast listener family.
Yes. Also,
there's plenty of room.
We're live in studio. We're in the Brooklyn Collective. We're talking to Monique Douglas, who's a bolt of energy. I think we've referred to her before. We've never interviewed her. But in the studio, your own flesh and blood, your parents.
That's right.
Very exciting. You would not give them a mic to start.
No. What do you mean to start?
You would not. We wanted to give them a mic, and it was never even offered.
No. Did we want to give them a mic?
Do you want to give them a mic?
I mean, no.
Okay. That could only lead to embarrassment of you.
Yeah. That's nobody wants to hear that.
So, rate, review, leave comments. Tell us you've missed us.
Sorry, Mom and Dad. Yes. No offense.
It's not the first time you've disappointed them. Follow us on social media, all that, John. All that stuff. John, what have you been up to? I feel like I haven't seen you.
I know. We've been busy.
Great answer.
We're busy men. Yeah. Well, you have more of an excuse than I do.
Yeah.
I feel like. But I don't know. I just kind of renovating a house, doubling down on Elizabeth.
Yeah.
So going to stay in the Elizabeth community. I know that's a big part of my...
It's like that Wolf of Wall Street thing. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah, so. That's right.
Just took some Quaaludes and walked up and down.
Yeah, that scene. Yeah, it's that scene. Not the one to fire everybody up because I'm not leaving. Renovating in Elizabeth, which is exciting. So excited to move back in.
Yeah.
That has taken a decent amount of my time.
As it does. Did it go longer than you anticipated, the renovation?
It is actively going longer than I anticipated. So,
all right. So how long was it anticipated?
Nine.
How much was it estimated?
9 months.
How much did you anticipate?
Oh, 10 months.
How far are we into it now?
9.5 months.
Okay, so we're getting to the place. Yeah. Do you think you can get it under 10 months?
No.
Okay.
It'll be over. But it's fine. All things considered.
Yeah?
I'm not complaining.
Your partner, she frustrated, happy, sad, excited?
You know how like over years and millennia, like sharp rocks become smooth?
Yeah.
Like that's what's happened. It's like there's just been enough friction and erosion that we're just
in your relationship?
No, I mean maybe, but like I was talking in general about
the house.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, things are smooth now, but not without months and months of friction.
There were some blisters created.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. But it's fine. Everything's fine. We're gonna move in. We're still very excited. Yeah. So speaking of exciting, what have you been up to?
I had very little to do with this. I was just there, but added a child to it. Now I'm very much in the weeds, but yes, we added another son.
Dom.
It's very weird.
Paul Walker, Vin Yoho.
It's funny. So, Asher, my oldest, asked now for bedtime stories as he's moved to a big time. Brittany would be like, tell him a story about like Sterling, the boy in his class. So I just talk about how Sterling met Dom Toretto. I just turn it into a Fast and the Furious movie. And I tell him the plot of one while inserting his friends as main characters.
I used to do that. Since my parents were in the studio, I'll tell the story. I used to do that with my sister where I'd like start telling her a story, but it was always Jurassic Park is how it would end. So all the characters just wound up on an island being chased by dinosaurs. Even if it started off as... Toy Story.
Yep, and that explains years of psychological abuse.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is interesting. So Brittany's a champ, and women are incredible for the whole thing of childbirth. I'm not going to get into it. If you're listening to this, I assume you understand the birds and bees.
That's our other, podcast where you and I talk about
dudes
childbirth.
Talking childbirth. Exactly. Are you north of the equator, south of the equator?
Spotify didn't kick off Joe Rogan, but they kicked us off doing that podcast.
But everyone's, the weird thing is when people congratulate me, because I feel like passenger. Now it's like very busy and like it's, I had 2 nights of 6 hours of sleep back to back. And I was like, wow.
You're riding high, man.
Someone was like, you have a lot of energy. I'm like, I feel like
it's like, you know what is a delightful like Southern saying that I feel like you don't hear anymore, especially a place like Charlotte. When you're talking about like your involvement is where I was like, you know, like bacon and eggs are on your plate and it's like the chicken is involved, but the pig is committed.
Never heard that.
About that. You haven't?
No.
I always found that saying very quaint and that applies to kind of your role. You're the chicken.
Yeah.
What I'm saying.
I'm a gopher now. Let's go get this thing. Go get that thing. But yeah. We settled into it. It's good.
Well, good. Well, congratulations. Thank you. So now that all of your parental duties are finished, as are mine, we can get back to podcasting.
Yeah. I would like to podcast more. I don't know exact schedule, but I think we'll figure it out and do more and go more into depth things. We haven't really even talked about what our plans are, but I think there's a lot of stuff we want to tackle and a lot of things in this city, a new city council, at least for like 18 months.
Yeah.
And there's just like a lot of new things, interesting things. I would say even like we talk about sports a lot and obviously that's my career. Like sports is a very interesting place for Charlotte right now.
Yeah.
So
you going to name some names?
What do you mean?
I don't know. For a variety of reasons.
I just worked on a football game. I'm about to work on a basketball event.
Yeah.
I'm going to work on more football games.
Yeah. You've got a lot of exciting stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that.
Go.
What are some things that you're the most excited about talking about? So assume this is all happening live, by the way. Yeah. You guys haven't talked about we haven't talked about this at
all. This is not on the rundown.
So assume we do 2 podcasts a month.
Yeah.
What would you be excited to talk about?
I think it's gonna be especially the politics of the city right now, as things, I mean, I don't think like Democrat versus Republican, like I don't think like that's changing, but I'm interested in the like personalities. And then also like you do have a shift of new people on council who have high ambitions. So I think like it's gonna be very interesting as people jockey for things. I think the new CMS, it's gonna be interesting with a new leader there. And then also like I think it's just a fun time in the city with just like there's a lot of stuff happening and I think a lot of funny and fun things could happen. Like we talked about, and I think it's a thesis of my work is Uptown needs like large events.
Yeah.
And I think like that's something that we're gonna be entering a space that as this phase of the pandemic is occurring, like more large events are coming back, which is exciting.
Yeah. It's interesting because like I think two things are true. One, that Uptown is like kind of dead and never coming back, but also like with the events of like a Charlotte, like look at this weekend, right? You've got a Panthers game, Charlotte FC game.
Oh, I would argue this past weekend.
And this past weekend is more, even bigger, right?
Yes, with, thank you.
The Aggie Eagle Classic.
I appreciate it. As I wear the baseball cap.
By all, I didn't see that. Yeah. By all accounts, a smashing success.
Thank you.
And well communicated.
It's one of those things, like, I once again, should not take all the credit for that.
You're just constantly in situations where people give you more credit than you deserve.
Just marketed it and talked to a lot of people and showed up in a lot of rooms.
You're just walking. Male privilege.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway, but I think all of the like weekend event, I mean, like you can say like Uptown's dead, but it's like, I don't know, this weekend I'm like, oh man, like there's so much going on. Like, is it even worth
it? It goes to like, it's exciting because there's organizations who have the opportunity. I think like a Center City Partners, we've always talked about like, what is the opportunity in front of them? It's like, how can they activate Uptown every weekend?
Yeah, we should talk to them.
I saw our friend Adam Rue is actually leaving there and going to work in South Park to leave their like new, leave their new thing. But I'm interested in the future of that organization. I think it has a really high opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's cool, and this is, well, you're in sports, so maybe you have some stuff to add to this, but like North Wilkesboro, like that whole, I feel like that's happened since we've even done a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we've talked, well, like one of the most recent podcasts we did was talking about Days of Thunder, right? And now, like these old
The last great American.
That's right.
What'd you call it?
Blockbuster.
Blockbuster.
Yeah, because it was pre-CGI.
Which then Top Gun came out, which was incredible.
Yeah.
The new Top Gun.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but no, I think like Wilkes-Barre is great. I think there's also like a place where people are thinking nostalgically about sports and events again. So I think that's really fun to play in those spaces of like, what are things that could be resurrected or brought back? Like, even as we think about like the Jumpman Invitational being in Charlotte and bringing in four high profile teams, like the work that's being done by this incredible marketing agency that Jordan Brand has is focused on Charlotte's history. So like they're looking at like, you know, like the four awards, they're looking at the Excelsior Club. Like that's part of the source materials they're looking at, is how do you create cool things based on Charlotte's past, which is falls in line with what we believe with this podcast. And also, watch this, still got the segue, John, aligns with who we'll be talking next, Monique from the Brooklyn Collective.
All right, I'm here with friend of the podcast, friend of Miller, and friend of mine, Monique Douglas. Welcome to the Charlotte Podcast.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
We have been waiting to have you on for a very long time. You've in the time since I first said to Miller, we have to have Monique on, to now, I think we've both like got to know you a lot better too. So the nature of this interview is going to be probably a little more in depth than it would have been a year or so ago. So I'm very excited. So why don't you kick us off? I intentionally didn't give you any particular title when I brought you on, because I'm curious how you're gonna describe yourself. So give us kind of your title. Give us your, like, the top of your LinkedIn page. What is it you do here?
So, the top of my LinkedIn page is going to be, that I am, the co-owner of CBK branding and consulting firm.
Okay.
So my specialty is that I help individuals and brands, small businesses, as well as corporate, to get clarity on the direction of their brand, and then to develop the strategies to be able to make a splash in the marketplace instead of tiptoeing in. So CBK branding and consulting firm is really I'd say like a Target superstore of branding,
okay,
but with a boutique feel.
See, that's why I didn't say what you do, because you're so much better at it. So, all right, with that as a little teaser, we always ask our guests, what's your Charlotte story? So take us from kind of, if you're from Charlotte, mm-hmm. and if not, kind of where did you start, and kind of what was your journey to be here in Charlotte and doing what you're doing now?
Okay. So originally, actually, I'm a Bahama mama. So I'm from Nassau, Bahamas.
Okay.
Migrated to Columbia, Maryland, which is where I finished up the rest of my brought-upsy, as my mother would say. and then migrated here to Charlotte in 2007 from Baltimore, Maryland. I was getting away from the cold and wanted to be in a place where my children could have a better quality of life.
Okay.
And I just wanted to be around happy people, and the Southern hospitality worked well with my personality type. And so that's how I ended up here. Ended up here, though, with a crossover of two careers. One, I was in sales and management in cosmetics for 20 years, and then crossed over in sales and management in hotels.
Okay.
So ultimately director of sales of hotels.
Okay.
And so that's really how people in Charlotte really knew me.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that they were coming to my property.
Coming to your parties.
Yes. And enjoying my hospitality. And so it's been a joy servicing the Queen City in that manner. So journey now moved from that, always been an entrepreneur in the background, even when I was in corporate, now 100% entrepreneur, and joined forces with my husband, Kevin Douglas, who he and I got married during the pandemic. So we are, newlyweds, if you will, but excited about the work that we're doing now, both from our business perspective, but also from the nonprofit sector.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
There you go. We'll get into that in a second. Yes. So wait, I want to go back to your career in hospitality first.
Yes.
And your parties in Charlotte.
Yes. So
what's like, is there anything that stands out as like the weirdest thing or surprising thing in a career of hospitality of like any weird requests or a particular, a client that, not that it was like difficult necessarily, but just like, you were just like, what is this person asking me to pull off for them? Or like anything that stands out in a career that kind of like,
so we, threw you off. At one of my properties, we had an 8-year run with a roller skating, I called it a roller skating reunion every year.
So you've already delivered on the aspect of this question.
Okay, you got that. So just imagine roller skating clubs from all over the United States, plus international, all coming together, converging in your hotel property. And my hotel property at the time had 496 rooms.
Okay.
So you're talking about, and they would sell it out. So you're talking about over 1,000 people converging on one property. So inside, outside, downstairs. I mean, when I tell you it was a party.
Yeah.
But we used to have a lot of fun with them. But, you know, when you have large groups like that, it's a lot of work. It's a lot to maintain. It's a lot of moving parts. But what was really cool about them was they did the flip of what normal groups do. They roller skated at night at the skate locations where they would go. So they'd be roller skating from, say, 11 p.m. until, you know, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. And then they all come back to the hotel and sleep. And sleep. So it's kind of like the opposite of what normal people do when they travel. And so they were very, very interesting group.
I just learned a ton about a subculture that I'm going to need to look more into. Because those are really
cool. Yeah,
well, you delivered on that question. Yeah. So thank you. So, so we are in the Brooklyn Collective podcast studio that you and I are familiar with. And we can mention collectively speaking a little bit later. But tell us a little bit about Studio 229 at the Brooklyn Collective. And kind of what are you doing there and how does that tie into your hospitality background?
Yes. So I always tell people that my background is hospitality, but also understanding that I'm an islander too, and hospitality is our industry in the islands, you know, in the Bahamas, in most islands, because that's tourism is the business, right? So so having a hospitable, growing up in a hospitable environment is just very natural for me. But the cool thing about what we're doing at Studio 229 on Brevard, which is where CBK Branding and Consulting firm operates out of, is the fact that I get to do hospitality my way, which is different from what I did for 20 years working for someone else, having to be under their thumb and not always being able to perform in the most hospitable way because they say hospitality, but when you're talking about corporate leadership rules, guidelines, all of these things, it kind of muddies the waters of what true hospitality really should look like. So for me, breaking free from that corporate structure allows me to render the kind of service I would like to render to my guests.
Got it.
Yeah.
Unlimited, uncut hospitality.
That's it. That's it. The raw deal. That's the raw deal.
So what makes, other than kind of being able to just kind of like be fully custom with kind of the way you deliver and kind of the stuff you put on, kind of what's the, you can already tell I'm leading you a certain direction with this question, but like why is it significant? Like why at Studio 229, other than just like not being corporate, like what else is kind of, why come to you guys and like what are you doing with your events and kind of like what's little island secret or Monique. Sauce. Yeah, secret sauce. That's right.
So, you know, I think one of the biggest things that, which is really like my mantra in life, is that I want to make sure that when anybody leaves my space, that they feel like a VIP.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter to me what position you hold, you know, what's your status in life. It doesn't matter to me. It's every human being to me deserves to be treated as a VIP, right? So giving people a VIP experience is what makes Studio 229 on Brevard stand out, because you just don't get that anymore. You just don't get it anymore. And so we like to say we open every program there and we tell people, welcome to our home. Mm-hmm. Because we have it laid out in such a way, even with the furniture and the way we position things, that people are comfortable. So they may be coming for a corporate workshop or a corporate event, but they're sitting back comfortable in those chairs and they feel at home because of the way that they're being treated as VIPs. So that's really what I feel like our special sauce is when it comes to events. And then also the standard of excellence. It is extremely important to me, and anyone who works with us knows I am a stickler for everything being executed with a standard of excellence, from the way we set the room to even our standard when it comes to music, that music that is played in our location cannot have profanity in it, and it cannot defame the character of women. And so that's our standard.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that alone sets us apart when it comes to the types of events that, you know, that we bring into the building.
And you guys started, kind of hit your stride, at mm-hmm. least during the pandemic, right? So mm-hmm. kind of you were able to kind of stand this up during 2020 and into 2021. So what, in that experience, but not necessarily because of kind of lockdowns and pandemic or whatever, and being in the hospitality industry during then, but what was the most surprising thing that you've learned so far, kind of being out on your own, doing this despite your background of experience, but kind of like doing it in this location, kind of what has there, it, have you learned anything that surprised you, given that you've been doing this a long time, with your experience so far in Studio 229?
That's a good question. Look, you're making me think. You know, one of the things that I think are so important and that we've learned through the whole process is that sometimes, you know, you're so busy focused on, you know, we need to make X amount in revenue, that sometimes when we become revenue driven, we miss out on what really is important. And so I believe that with us opening our location 6 weeks before COVID and then having to just shut down, yeah. like when they said shelter in place, I'm like, what is that? What does that mean?
Right.
What? And then looking at each other like, are you kidding me right now? Like, did we just make a big mistake?
Right. Like, underneath the like now open for right? business banner.
Then, right.
Everyone come yes. gather together.
And so indoors. Here's what we learned though, going through the process. Is that there were times when we were like, well, we can't make any money, but we're looking around and we're seeing that people's studios are closing, mm-hmm. That our creatives had nowhere to be able to conduct business anymore, and yet they need to make money. And so we were at a point where now it became a humanitarian concern, because it was bigger than us.
Right.
It became bigger than us. So we were like, well, we may not be making money, but one thing we do have that we can offer is space.
Right.
So we opened our doors many days for creatives to come in at no cost, for them to be able to shoot their projects on our infinity wall, those who are photographers, videographers, or production folks, so they could live. We assisted local musical talent to be able to come in, and we streamed their events for them at no cost, so they could make money. And instead of having to do their little concert in their garage right. or in their living room, we offered the space, right? They couldn't have an audience, but we could certainly offer a nice location for them to feel good about where they're playing their music and to look good on that screen when these things were live streamed. And so what we learned, though, is that by taking the humanitarian route, that people don't forget the love that you have shown. And so we feel like that has helped it come back full circle
right.
in the fact that people are supporting our initiatives and our work because they know our heart. And it goes back to what I was saying about making everyone feel like a VIP.
Right.
And that it's despite us and what our circumstances might be, or maybe we're not getting it the way that we anticipated. But when the humanitarian side is what I believe helped us to win.
Right. yeah, you kind of had no choice but to kind of lean back on kind of why you, what is important to you to begin with, right? Yeah. Which is like less the top line and kind of making sure you hit your margins a corporate set for you, right?
Yes,
and
exactly.
more for the experience. So, all right, well, so all that's kind of the past and kind of the journey you guys have been on so far. I'm curious, like what does 5 years from now look like, right? Because hospitality can be a grind, as perhaps you feel from time to time, and kind of part of the broader community of the Brooklyn Collective with kind of the nonprofit. We've talked about it on the podcast before, but kind of the broader space outside of Studio 229, just kind of these historic buildings with some co-working space and the Grace Church and kind of the program and art gallery, things like that. Kind of what, when you think 5 years from now, how does the mission expand? Does it expand? Are you kind of like happy kind of being as busy as you are every single weekend, or kind of what does it look like?
Well, I believe it's, you know, I always have to go back and draw on the community, because what is it really that we're trying to do, right? So obviously these walls cannot contain all that we need to accomplish. You know, my husband and I talk all the time, you know, we're on the other side of things. You know, once you cross over that 50, you know, we're on the other side. And so now it's, what will you continue to do to make an impact, but what can you do to make the greater impact? So for me, what it looks like is satellite locations. And the purpose of that is to be able to encompass more of the community, right? So we only have but so many walls, so many spaces here, but how about a satellite, a concept that now we can engage even more of the community, help more small businesses and nonprofits, that we can engage more children in different neighborhoods to have easy access to get to where they need to get the programming that they need, that we can get more from underserved communities to get the professional development that they need. You know, all of that is necessary to continue to build growing communities and to improve our city. So for me, it looks like, you know, expanding on the concept in different locations to be able to reach more people and to make a greater impact.
Got it. So not necessarily being tied to, like you said, the walls, but kind of grow, meet the community where they are, right?
Exactly.
Very cool. Exactly. So, all right. So I warned you about rapid fire questions, and they're coming up in a second. But before we get to that, how can people get involved and learn more about Studio 229? Or what are the types? I don't think we even talked about it at the top. Like, what are the types of events that you guys put on? I know it's a wide range, but how can people that are interested in learning more find out about what you guys do?
There's a lot of good stuff. So, of course, CBK Branding and Consulting Firm, which is our primary business, because, you know, our interest is really helping people to not get lost in the marketplace with their brands, right? Because you can have some great ideas out there, but if you don't understand how to get that out to people, you're kind of like, my husband always says, you're like this ship that's sitting out in the middle of this big, huge ocean, and you're just there with all this water around you, but you're not getting noticed, right? So how do you change that scenario? So you can reach, learn about CBK at cbkbrandingandconsulting.com. That's one branch. Studio 229 on Brevard, which is really just the studio, the photography studio that my husband operates out of. It's just that because it's so big, we multi-purpose it. But you can learn more about the upcoming events, because of course we're known for our live jazz nights, first Thursdays and first Fridays of every month. We do community programming and community forums there, but you can follow us at, or visit us at studio229onbrevard.com to get what's coming up, and also to get information on renting the facility for your own events. And then we run our nonprofit, the Grooming Greatness Foundation, out of Studio 229 on Brevard. And so that is a program that helps youth ages 9 to 16 understand the importance of grooming to their future success. But we do it through exposure to the arts. So children come from underserved communities, primarily to our location for piano lessons, acting classes, photography courses, and visual art workshops. And through these mediums and taking them to the theater, to the opera, to the orchestra, to fine dining experiences, we're throwing them into these scenarios where grooming is a discussion, and it's important for them to understand how to show up, right? How do you show up properly to get the maximum results for your future success? And so you can find out more information about our work at groominggreatness.org. And then, of course, on the broader scale, being that I'm the executive director of the Brooklyn Collective, which is the location where Studio 229 on Brevard resides, you would visit Brooklyn Collective, CLT.org.
There it is. That's a lot. I think that is an answer to the question that appropriately demonstrates how busy you are with all of your different websites and ways for people to get in touch with you. So awesome. All right. It's rapid fire time. Normally Miller does these, okay, but he stepped out. So it's going to be me. So here we go. Starting now. What's your favorite dessert?
Tiramisu.
Ooh, good one. What is a go-to song if you need to get a crowd at one of your events up and moving? What's your go-to song that is kind of like guaranteed across all types of attendees? What's going to get people out and kind of paying attention and up out of their seats and moving?
Oh my goodness. Now you just threw me off. I was doing good there for a minute. I think one of them is We Are Family.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I can see that. Yep. I can see that. All right. The building that we're in right now, Becklenburg Investment Company, 100th year anniversary, you may have heard. Between myself and Miller, who you know, who's more likely to build a building with their bare hands that would last 100 years, me or Miller?
I'm going to have to go with Miller.
Oh, he's going to be so happy. He's going to be so happy you chose him. What's the best concert you've ever seen in Charlotte?
Diana Ross.
No way. When?
Yes, that was literally just, was that 2 years ago?
Oh, yeah. She was here recently.
Oh, my goodness. Good. Amazing show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She brought it? She still has the pipes?
Not only does she have the pipes, but you know, she is nothing but fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
So the outfits?
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's she amazing. Showed off.
Yeah?
She showed
that's
off.
That's awesome. I love a good diva.
Yeah.
Love a good diva.
Yes, she's up there and she the is it all the way.
All right. The Brooklyn Collective stands out in Uptown because of its brilliant murals. Should Uptown Charlotte have a statue of Grandmama? Are you familiar with Grandmama?
I am not familiar with Grandmama. That's why I'm laughing.
In 1992, Larry Johnson was the first pick for the Charlotte Hornets. And the Converse sneaker company had a whole campaign for him where he dressed as a basketball playing grandmother, Grandmama. That's the first thing I knew about Charlotte was Grandmama from those sneakers. So Miller and I think that there should be an homage to Grandmama in Uptown. But they need your help. We need your help marketing and branding this idea to get a statue of Grandmama in Uptown.
You would definitely need the boutique firm to
do that. That's right.
That's a boutique thought.
So I'll put you down for a maybe.
Yeah. I think there's a place for it. Mm-hmm. And it would probably be at around the Hornets.
Right. The Spectrum
Center. Yeah, around the Spectrum Center. I think so. I think that would be a great spot because it would be a great conversation piece. I'm with you on that.
That's what we say.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
There's the Rocky statue in Philadelphia. Okay. This could be our Rocky statue.
Okay.
So there you go. All right. All right. So I'm scratching out your maybe.
Yeah.
I'm making you a yes.
Yes. Make it a yes.
All right.
Make it a yes.
So we'll end with this one. What is one thing you would like to see more Charlottians spend time doing?
It's always going to be engaging with the arts. It will always be that because I believe that art is the catalyst to bring cultures, meaningful conversations, and community together in order to come up with amazing new collaborations. So I just believe that we need to come together and engage more through the arts.
Well, there you go. We'll leave it at that, Monique. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Won't be the last time. All right. We're back. Just John and Miller.
We recorded this before we interviewed Monique, but I'm going to go You love it when I do that. I forgot about you. It's your favorite thing. I've already mentioned your parents are here. I've given people a peek behind the curtain.
Yeah.
How the sausage is made.
So much sausage inputs just laid bare right now.
Finish that. knowing Monique and I've done work with her and you obviously know her well, that had to be a fantastic interview. I give it 9 out of 10.
I agree. I say 10 out of 10.
Oh, thanks, John. We forgot to tease at the beginning. There's some cheers and jeers. Do you have any that you'd just like to throw out there that are not on the rundown?
You know what? Cheers. Cheers to Miller.
Thank you.
And also to, we bagged on Uptown a little bit in the beginning, but like, I feel like the infrastructure of Uptown.
Yeah.
Never been better.
Agreed.
Like getting people around, like the streetcar, like after a big event or something, leaves a little something to be desired. But like, it's a big city with a major league sports event
and hotel rooms.
Yeah,
finally feels like there's enough hotel rooms.
Oh, really?
There always will be a need for more, but like it is, I think people can, if they want to come to an event, can stay uptown.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad you agree with that because I feel like it's kind of too. It's almost like we had 2 years off to complete a lot of important projects.
Yeah, we just got to figure out the epicenter. Did you buy it?
No, did you?
No, but we just got to figure out what we're doing with that.
Yeah, we should.
I do have a cheer. I ran the round the count 10K. Have you run that before?
I have. I ran the first
one. This is my second time. Great. Pushed the child on very little sleep. The older child, the heavier child. Had to answer a lot of existential questions like, why are we running? and where are we going?
Yeah.
A couple miles. So that was interesting. But always a great race. I think that may be one of the best. I took an urban history course at Furman with T. Lloyd Benson, Dr. Mensa. Because he'd always come in, sip his coffee, and go, he was a great man. But when I took this urban history, he said, always look above and look at the ground when you're going around a city, because then you can see what the city is. You can see the things that you probably wouldn't see at eye level. Like, that's where you find history. And I think in terms of a race and in terms of approaching Charlotte and physical activity, I think there's no better way.
Yeah.
Granted, you have the 3 miles that are on the highway, which are really unique and cool and people should experience. But the 3 miles through the city, you get to go through different wards. You see different things. It's I think it's a really good perspective, even all the different stadiums. I think it's probably the coolest perspective of Charlotte in any event. So I highly recommend if no one's done that. And obviously, Brian's a friend, and I've done work for them, but it is – that event continually surpasses my expectation.
Yeah. I kind of wish that there were multiple throughout the year. I know that's probably
They did that. And I've told them this, they'd done that pop-up thing where they did the year where they didn't have it for COVID. They had it where you could come and just randomly run the 10K. And I did it like 5 times and it was great, but you could do like a rolling start. And I think they could do like 4 events a year.
Yeah.
You do like one that's a 5K. They have a 5K and you do that, but you do like a series and I would love to do almost like, this has been kicked around, not original, but like, what's a mile sprint uptown? And like, people can set out chairs. You just have people sprinting up and down Charlotte. Tell me that would not be fun. Like, tailgate, it'd be great.
Yeah, that would be amazing. But making it a sprint is really funny.
Yeah, like a mile sprint. Like, someone's going to hurl.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I like that. All right, I'm in. Senior City Partners, take notes.
Perfect.
Wait, so that was your cheer? That was your second cheer? All right. You got a jeer?
I also called Brian after the race and filed a complaint. Said it was a great experience. But this daggum guy with a GoPro.
Okay.
Who spent this whole culture where everyone thinks they're a vlogger.
Yeah.
3 miles in front of me talking loudly to the camera.
Drives me crazy with people with no professional experience.
He has like 200, 300 followers of video. And he's like existential, like, why we run videos. And I'm like, you have 150 watches of this. I think maybe the thing is, why are you filming yourself is the real question. But like for 3 miles, I hear him talking loudly. It's like almost like ruining the experience of like this barrel chested, pops his shirt off at one time, dude. And he's like, then as people run by, he's like, everyone just smile, release your fingers and stuff. Like, those are the phrases he's telling people over and over. And that's I'm like, annoying. I wanted to whip a rock at him.
Unsolicited encouragement. Not a fan.
Yeah. 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 Like
of your fellow racers.
I am going to comment. I want to find that video and say, like, I love this race. It was great.
Let's bring him on here.
You were the worst
Let's interview him.
Oh, I'm sure he'd fill the time. Pop his shirt off halfway through the interview.
So your jeer is that guy.
Yeah. I just think we've entered a culture where everyone thinks that they're a correspondent.
Yeah.
Or, like, and that's not like, I'm not complaining at social media or things like that. It's more so like, why? I was like doing a media interview and someone filmed the media interview. It's like, what are you doing? Like, it's literally being filmed by cameras that will be going on terrestrial TV. Like, you are not the media. Like, no one, like, you do not have the skills or the ability to do this. And it's the same way, like, just because people have cameras does not make them an expert or their opinion matter.
I just can't help but feel you're also describing this very podcast.
Oh, for sure. For sure. 100%. Just because we have the equipment. Well, granted, we won some Bob Awards, John.
Half a decade ago, we won some Bob Awards. Yeah. We're closer to having to think about like the 10th anniversary of this podcast than starting it.
We used to celebrate, not celebrate, you used to text me when we passed other podcasts and followers on
social media. Oh, yeah.
Or when other podcasts ceased to exist, you would text me.
I would.
Celebrations. And now I think they were the smart ones.
Probably.
Yeah. Like now it's like, what are we doing? Like, yeah, do you think they text us like these guys are still going? Don't they have kids and mortgages
they're on their yachts. Yeah. They're on their yachts.
Like, what are they doing? How do they have time?
Yeah, well, yeah, they're right. So jeers to us. They're still doing this podcast.
Us and, us and the guy who's running for 3 miles in front of me who I want to throw a rock at.
That's right.
I'm a very positive person, John.
Yeah, you are. Cool. Well, should we bring it home?
Let's wrap it up.
Mom and Dad, do you want to join us in the woo? You've been patiently waiting.
All right. Ready?
Ready. Here we go.
3, 2, 1. Woo! See where you get those pipes from.
Yeah.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.